came to me a while ago. Heaven will surely be worth it all. It's one of those songs we call a special song sometimes. It'll be worth every sacrifice. It'll be worth every hardship, every temptation, every sickness, every affliction, every time of perplexing things. It'll be worth it all.
Yes.
God will pay us for it. We have thanksgiving in our heart this morning for what He's done for us. And we appreciate that, what the Lord has done for us. One of these days we're going to face God with whatever we are. And, you know, I was thinking about, well, I'll ask your pardon here a little bit. The Apostle Paul used a similarity to some sports things that were going on, so I'm going to use one this morning. In the world of sports, there's a time of just playing the game sometimes, and there's a time of getting serious. Now, a number of us in here could play basketball, maybe. You can run up and down the court and throw the ball at the hoop and maybe make it go in some. But when it comes to the end of the season, if you have any hopes at all, it's time to get serious now. And men that are in that situation, they get real serious about it, and they learn how to take the court, so to speak, and not have one let up, not have one wasted motion, if at all possible, but they're totally concentrating on trying to win that game.
Yeah.
Totally concentrating. And here we are coming down to the end of our lives, maybe some of us.
Yes.
And some of us are just living in a time in this time world right now where things are real serious spiritually. And we're just going along, kind of, maybe.
Yeah.
You're not real dead serious about it. So I want to encourage you this morning to just time out for playing games, you know. But it's time to get real serious, to make every time you move a muscle, make it count. Get up with a single thing on your mind, being victorious in my tests, watching what's in my heart. Wherever the Lord has been dealing with me to measure up on this line or that line, I'm going to take it to heart today. Not put it off. Not just kind of take it not serious about it, but get busy, because one of these days, every one of us is going to face God.
Yes.
Every last one of us. And if there's some things hanging on in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your attitude that God is not pleased with, and He knows what's going on in there, selfish things, He knows.
Yes.
And you're going to have trouble facing Him in peace. So, with that, we want to go on here this morning. The thought came to me, say this, our message this morning is on a package deal. This is what the Lord gave me. Living for God is a package deal. You take the whole thing all at once. No part of God's plan can be laid aside. You can't ignore it. You can't skip it. You can't just read it and think that, well, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. But everything that God gave in His Word, everything that He speaks to you about in your heart, it's all part of the deal. Sometimes we people think that we can get something for nothing. Sometimes we go out and get a real bargain. You know, sometimes we get a bargain. You know, you'll go hunt a bargain, and then you get the bargain. And then as the time goes on, you start having trouble and problems with the item that you bought. And after a while, you forget all about that good price you got for it. And all you can see is just the problems. That thing will be with you even though you've long since forgotten about the good deal you got. So, when God gives us something, some of His Word, we want to take it all, every bit of it. Turning here to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in the 15th verse, it says, "In that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." The Word of God is given that we might be able to be perfect before God and truly furnished with all good works. In other words, everything that the Lord wants us to do and to accomplish in this life, as we measure up to the Word of God, not just read it, but as we measure up to the Word of God and as we seek God and search out the Scriptures that we might get to know the Scriptures, and then as we do that, the Lord will be able to perfect some things in our lives and help us to grow spiritually. And here we are willing to take the whole thing, everything that God has given to us in the Word, all of the knowledge, all of the understanding, all the grace, everything He has for us, we want to have it because we want to be truly furnished throughout our whole life. We want everything that God has for us.
Yeah, amen.
We're going to go through some times of trial here, and we're going to need what God has for us. The Scripture is given that we might be truly furnished in doctrine, in reproof and correction, instruction in righteousness. The Scripture is given that we might be brought up to a point where God is pleased with our lives. There are people today that are maybe skipping over some of the things, you know. Sometimes you read something, or sometimes you hear something, or sometimes maybe even the Holy Spirit taps you on the back, and it's something that makes you feel uncomfortable and maybe feel somewhat short before God, and so therefore you want to kind of dismiss it and get it out of your mind, and you want to keep on going the same way you've been going, and you want to try to make yourself feel comfortable, but there's a nagging thought in the back of your mind: the Lord's been wanting to get something to me, and I've been kind of turning a deaf ear to it.
Yeah.
May the Lord bless. Get busy accepting everything He's got for you, that you might be thoroughly furnished to all good works. Now, I don't mean just good works on the outside. There's some people that think about good works as just these good works that we do with our hands toward our fellow man. Maybe on the outside we feed the homeless and we give to these charitable causes and so forth like that. But God wants us to be thoroughly furnished with good works on the inside.
Yes, amen.
A meek, a mild spirit, a spirit that can go through some trials and tests and some reverses in life, go through some things where I don't get my way, and still see God's hand in it and just be blessed in our souls.
Amen.
God has a package deal for us. In Psalm 68:19, says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Blessed be the Lord that daily loadeth us. He gives us many, many benefits. Blessings. He has a hand of blessing, a hand of mercy upon us daily. is something that we can look to, we can expect, we can even take it for granted. We can just assume upon His mercies and go our own ways if we want. But God daily loads us with benefits, all humanity. But then, in addition to that, there's something special for the saint of God to see in all that God gives to him. In Psalms, the 616th chapter, and the 12th verse, it says, "And what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all His people." This is what I'm going to render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me. There have been times maybe that I've been in depths of trial and troubles and perplexing things all around me. And the Lord has come in and inspired me and lifted me up and encouraged me. And in the midst of that, maybe I have made some promises to the Lord. I've made some vows to the Lord that, "Lord, if You will do this for me, if You'll heal my body, or if You'll work this problem out, then, Lord, I'll be found drawing closer to You day by day." What shall I render unto the Lord for His benefits? I'll pay my vows. When we speak something to the Lord for His goodness to us, His mercies toward us, I will pay my vows. Sometimes people are in such dire straits and trouble before they get saved, that, so to speak, they'd give all the world, everything that they could have, all of their possessions, everything they could put their hands on. If they could do anything to get that load of trouble off of them, they'd do anything. And they tell God that. But there comes a time of paying. It's time to pay. There's a time of paying, actually getting on your knees and giving what you said you would give. Perfecting holiness, bringing all the Word of God to bear on your heart. Bring it to bear where you find yourself measuring up a little at a time, but consistently going closer and closer to God. That's what I'll render. You know, the Lord, He has, like I said, He has got a package deal for us. A package deal. It's a total thing. He doesn't omit anything in our lives that we need. He knows when we need healing. He gives us healing. He knows when we are in a situation, maybe like Sister Trudy was in with her car, some temporal thing. He knows. And it's wonderful to be able to go to the Lord in prayer. "Lord, have mercy upon me. Work this thing out. I don't know. I can't accomplish it. I don't know how to make it all happen. But Lord, have mercy upon me." And then you see the Lord do it. You know you owe God something for that. You owe Him. You know, we owe the Lord a heart of obedience. Turning to Isaiah, the first chapter, the 19th verse, says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." We owe the Lord obedience. We owe Him an obedient heart, an obedient spirit. We owe Him that to be pliable. We owe Him in our heart to be yielding toward Him. We owe Him to be responsive. We owe God something. We are not just people that just go through this life and take in all the benefits, all the blessings of God, and then give Him nothing in return. People that go through this life and don't give God His just due, give Him what is owed to Him, you know what? You're going to be found short in the end. You're going to be found short in the end. Amen. 1 Timothy, 5th chapter, 6th verse. Says, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Now, this doesn't just go for she's, but this goes for he, men also. If you're living a life that your life consists of day by day, having your way, seeking after things that bring you pleasure, that are fun to you, see, And if that's all your aim and purpose in life is, and I want to say this, that it doesn't just have to be all your total aim and pleasure, just to aim in life to just have pleasure, but many times we can come to a place of where, while that's not everything to us, it's a major part. Pleasure. Pats on the back by people that are not godly, and they're patting you on the back not for things that are godly and good, but they're patting you on the back for something else. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. What do you think you're going to get from God when you've done all your very best here in this time world to have your own way? Are we willing to die to our way? You know, not having your way is a place of where you're not comfortable. Not having your way, many times that's a cross, you know. Biggest cross people have. I just didn't get my way. It wasn't that I was bearing the cross that Christ had necessarily, but the cross of suffering for other people's profit. But it's the cross of me suffering because of my displeasure, me suffering because of my hurt, my pain. See, that's my cross. You know, we ought to be able to go through life and have something else to suffer for other than just ourselves. But we need to do that. We need to be willing to die out to ourselves and not just go through this life, just having a life that's aimed at pleasure, vanity. I'll say, many times people are happy for some of the strangest things. They feel good. They have high self-esteem for things that have no spiritual value whatsoever. Amen. I feel good today because I look good today. I looked in the mirror and the way I look, you know, I am so good. You know, I look nice. And so I can go out with my head held high. I look good. Everything's fine today. No. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Dead, spiritually separated from God. I feel good today because of I've been able to accomplish something that I have worked toward, and I am finally able to put my plan over. I feel good. I'm victorious. I entered in competition with somebody and I beat them.
Yeah.
I feel good.
Yeah.
That's vanity. If that's what your life is beginning to consist of, that's vanity. And you're dead. Dead, separated from God. Amen. 2 Timothy 2 and 11. Amen. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him, suffer with Christ. If we deny him, he will also deny us. A faithful saying, if you'll be dead with Christ, be willing to die out to your way, your wants, your wishes. Jesus Christ, he came to a point of being willing to let go of what his very life, that we might be saved. He came to that point. He was brought to a point where he saw the Father's will before him. He knew that that was the Father's will before him when he came into the world. But when he saw it before him, his flesh began to draw back. You know, sometimes we'll be brought before God, something we'll go in through into something in life, and we know maybe the Lord has been trying to get us to come to this place where we're able to please God in our lives, and we know that that's the direction He's been heading. But finally, He brings us to that point where it's time to pay up. It's time to actually get down and do what God wanted you to do.
Yeah.
We need to be willing to, at that time, to consecrate, to sacrifice, let go of our own selfish way and our own will, be willing to endure some pain because this is God's will. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. A lot of times people think of reigning with Christ. That's beautiful. Reign in Christ throughout eternity. You got to reign with Him here in this life. If you're going to have Him reigning with you here in this life, that is, have Him on the throne of your heart, in a high and exalted place, and then have Him working in your life. You want to have that here, and then you're going to talk about reigning with Christ over there in eternity. But let's start it right here in this life. We cannot reign in eternity without being a reigning here in this life. If ain't reigning in your life, ain't no need of talking about reigning over there. No need even talking about that. We want to reign with Christ here. We want to suffer with Christ here. Right here in this time world. Christ lived a life here where people many times despised Him. People ignored, turned aside from His counsel. They didn't appreciate the good that He did here. That's amazing to us. All the healings and the miracles that He did, and yet many of the Jewish people said they would like to kill Lazarus, and they want to kill him because look at the effect he's having on the people. And Christ was doing good.
Yeah.
He was doing good. There was nothing wrong with healing these folks, making that blind man to see. There's nothing wrong with that. But these people say, if you're going to say that Christ has done this for you, we're going to cast you out of the synagogue, out of our presence.
Yeah.
And that was something to those folks back in that day.
Yes.
The man's parents who was born blind, they didn't come forward and say that Christ did it. Because they didn't want to be cast out. But there are times when, you know, also we're going to give a witness for Christ and people are going to think ill of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to not want us in their presence. Because we make them feel uncomfortable. Because we have a stand for the truth of God's Word in our heart, in our life, and we bring a condemnation upon them. Because they can see a dedication in our heart, a desire to live pure and holy before God, and people are going to turn away from us because of that. But we should be willing to do that. Because that's how we're going to get what we desire from the Lord.
Amen.
I was thinking about this little scripture over here in Hebrews, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. It says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are healed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. When you suffer with Christ in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, then the glory of Christ begins to come out of you. A grace where you can go through some real difficult, hard times and stay true to God right in the midst of it. We need to be able to do that. You must do that. You don't want to be a person that when things get hard, then you separate from God. Or you begin to take the side of the worldly man. No, you're going to be true to God. Let's be true to God.
Yeah.
True to God that no matter what's going on in our life, the difficulty, the hardship, we're going to stay true. I'm going to continue to love the Lord. I'm going to continue to live like this. I'm going to continue to please God because this is what He's requiring of me. This is what He's pleased with. Reigning with the Lord. You know, the Lord... It's wonderful to reign. Now we love that, don't we? Think of that. Christ on the throne, many people rejoicing all around us and around Him, and here we are, one of them. It's a wonderful thing to be able to be on the victory side when we've won a battle in prayer and somebody has been healed. It's a wonderful thing. It makes you feel real good, doesn't it? Or maybe when a brother or sister has been in some sort of a temporal problem or trial or whatnot, maybe before magistrates or who, and then they get victory from God. Because we have all been praying, you know. That makes us feel good, doesn't it? But somebody had to be willing to go through that trial. Somebody went through the affliction. Somebody, maybe in the case of being before magistrates, maybe someone had to suffer a lawsuit. unjustly. But they were willing to go down through there, and you just backed them up with prayer. You backed them up with your desire to see them come out of it. You backed them up. You supported them. Maybe you said some words of encouragement to them. We don't get the great blessing from God until we go through something. God has a total package deal for us. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." The Lord loveth whom he chasteneth. You know, we live in a time today where if parents administer corporal punishment to their children, people in authority can make real trouble for you. But if you look in the scriptures, you will find that there's nothing wrong with a father showing love for his son in that manner. Now, to our children, sometimes they say, "Well, Daddy, I don't see how this is showing love." But I want you to know, there are a lot of children out there whose fathers have simply deserted them. That is not love.
Amen.
There are lots of children out there whose mothers and fathers will let them have their way. That is not love.
Amen.
Letting a child just grow up and, "Well, he's 10 years old, I'm letting him make his own decision." That is not love. It is a parent's responsibility, and it's not fun and games.
Amen.
But it's a parent's responsibility to guide the child.
Yeah.
To direct the child in the way that he should go.
Yeah.
Before God, God is going to hold you to that responsibility.
Yeah.
I believe that. When you have neglected your responsibility and your children turn out in such a way that it is shameful, I believe God holds us for that. You ought to hang your head over that. You can't lift it up. May the Lord help us. We want to do what the Lord wants us to do.
Amen. Lord bless.
Now, every child that I know of, I believe I know something about some children. Most of them don't like to be chastised.
No.
They don't like it. They don't appreciate it. Some of them have trouble with an attitude afterwards.
Yeah.
But they don't like it. And what about us adults and God our Father? We appreciate the chastisement of the Lord.
Lord help.
When He really lays it on us, can we appreciate it? When we've done something that He just condemns and He lets us know it, and it's on our mind in the nighttime, and that thing is something that, "Lord, I need to correct." And so, are we willing to say, "Lord, forgive me. I want to correct it with you, and I want to correct it with my fellow man"? Can we appreciate the dealings of the Lord, the chastisement of the Lord? Sometimes when we are in a place where we need chastisement, God lets things come our way in life. Hardships, difficulties, reverses. He lets things not go our way. And why does He do it? Because He's trying to get our attention. I believe sometimes even that He allows afflictions to come on our body, because He's trying to get something to our soul.
Yes.
And the only thing on our mind is that, "Lord, deliver me. Lord, straighten out this situation. Lord, fix me up physically. Lord, take care of the problem." Is that as far as we can see? But do we see the chastisement of the Lord? Do we see the correction of the Lord? Are we able to hear His words to us in the midst of the trial? And does it break our heart down?
Yeah.
One place said, in the scripture says, he maketh my heart soft.
Yes.
Chastisement is intended to break the heart.
Yes.
It's intended to touch that person's mind in such a way that they begin to soften up. And come to a place of admitting, I was wrong, I am corrected, I don't ever intend to do that again.
Yeah.
Now, it mentions here further on, fathers chastising the children after their own pleasure. There are some men in this world that have abused their children.
Yeah.
Okay? There are some that have done that. And they just were taking something out on the child. And even if the child had a bad attitude afterward, they didn't care. Child didn't receive the correction, they didn't care. I got him. No. We're not happy until we see the child corrected.
Yeah.
Until we see him accept the correction.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Daddy, I won't be doing that. I'll stop it.
Yeah.
That's what we want. Don't you know the Lord, our Heavenly Father, that's what he wants to hear from us. Yes, Father, I'm sorry. I won't be doing that anymore. I won't be found going down that road anymore.
Amen.
Forgive me. You know, that'd be a wonderful thing if your child after chastisement looked up at you and he says, Daddy, forgive me. I'm sorry. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we ought to do with our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Look up at him and say, you have touched my heart. Let him know that you have touched my heart. And this that you have been talking to me about, I'm not going to be hard and resistant. I'm not going to be rebellious anymore. Lord, you have touched me. I'll be found doing that thing that you want me to do. We'll close here in St. John, the 6th chapter. And the 53rd verse, we're going to read a little bit here. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Praise the Lord.
Over there in St. John, the 15th chapter, speaks about the Word of God abiding in us and us abiding in it and in Him and all that. Are we willing to take of Jesus Christ's body and of His blood? Now, further on down, obviously we're not talking about the physical flesh of Christ as He walked the earth. He's gone. 63rd verse, it says, It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Get down into the Word of God so that the Spirit of God is something that's in you and a part of you. The words of God that Jesus spoke, the words of God enable us by our obedience, by our measuring to the Word of God, measuring our lives, that is bringing ourselves into compliance with the Word of God. That's the way that we partake of Jesus Christ's flesh. That's the way we will drink of His blood. We can do that until such time as we begin to partake of His Spirit. There's something in us that has to yield, has to bow down so that we can obey and turn away from our ways and take God's ways. When that thing bows down in us and we yield in our heart, then a lot of the hardness, see, that you've had, it'll just disappear. I think of people sometimes have such a hard heart, a hard mind. They're so set in their ways and not open to anything that would just really cut across and change them.
Yes.
There are people like that.
Yeah.
There are people that cannot stand to be wrong. Some people just can't admit, you know what, I'm wrong. You ever anybody tell you that? You're getting into a discussion with somebody and you all getting a little bit of a heated discussion and the fellow stops, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, you're right, I'm mistaken, I made a mistake there, you're right. That's hard for people to do sometimes. Even though they're wrong, they are wrong, but they'll stand up and fight, right down to the end. And in the end, they'll walk off in a huff. You've gotten nowhere with them. You know, the Lord wants us not to be. We want to be able to be soft in our heart and let the Lord deal with us and bring us to that point where the Spirit of God in us is just working throughout our whole life to soften that heart. Now, God has a total package. God is a great compensator for all the troubles and sufferings that you go through in this life.
Yeah.
Tremendous compensation package. We have people today that go out on strike on their job because they want an increased compensation package, and they do not feel they're being adequately or fairly compensated. And they'll go out on strike. They'll get to a point where they're going to sit down. You ever find anybody who wants to do that for the Lord? Lord, I don't feel like I should be in this trouble, and I don't feel like this, and I don't feel like that, and so therefore, I ain't going to do nothing for you, or I'm not going to do that. You've been wanting me to measure up. Well, Lord, until you do this for me, I ain't going to do such and such. I'm impressed today to say that we can look around about us, and most all of us can pretty much justify ourselves for where we are.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Amen.
That's true. And then, that's ourselves.
Yeah.
And many times we can look around and ourselves and see our fellow man, our fellow saint, and we can see things about them and have unkind thoughts about them. And we can see things about them in our eyes and we can feel that, well, they are short here or there, whatever. And sometimes we feel kind of smug in that, well, you know, I'm pretty good, you know, because I can see such and such. But I'm impressed this morning that, you know what we ought to be looking at? We ought to be looking at, Lord, are we getting ready to meet you? That's what we ought to be looking at. It ain't how my brother looks. It ain't how I look. But it's how God is going to look on me. And it's how God is going to look on him. People are doing things, going places, acting ways, having all kinds of attitudes, saying things. But you know what? We leave them with God.
Yeah.
Leave them with God. Because one of these days, we're all going to stand in front of the Almighty God, and He's going to have our lives in His hands.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to make a disposition of whatever you've done here.
Yeah.
You're going to lay it down, brother. You can think and you can justify and you can make an argument and you can whatever, justify yourself. But not before God. When it comes to standing before God, it's going to be, Lord, have I done your will? And I was thinking about how some people are willingly ignorant of the scriptures. And this morning as I was thinking about that, you know, I believe the Lord brought me this thought of, I was in traffic school one time for a traffic violation, and the party that was teaching made a point and said that ignorance of the law is no justification for non-compliance. You can go do something out there in the world in a traffic law violation realm, you know, and you can do that, and then when the man stops, you say, well, I didn't know that that was what the case was here. All right, well, now you know. Here. That's kind of the way it is, isn't it? You can tell them, well, I thought this speed limit was 55 here. Well, no, it isn't. It's 45, and you're doing 56. There. So you can stick your head in the sand, you know, and think spiritually you're going to get by. The Lord helped me to see that this morning. That just like in our time world here, people are going to proclaim ignorance and they're going to come up standing before God and He's going to say, you should have known. You should have been searching the Scriptures. You should have been paying attention to every little time I pricked your conscience. But instead, you had a frame of mind where you were passing things off. And you thought that in the end, you were somehow going to get into my heaven. It's not going to happen. There's a package deal. God has a package deal for us. That package deal involves obedience, submission to Him. And then, with your submission to Him, with your obedience to Him, with your being willing to suffer with Him and go through the trials and tests and endure the temptations and turn away from all wrong in your life and do those things that are right and just, along with that, God gives peace. See? God gives blessings untold. He shows His mercies continually. He has eternal life for you if you'll do all of that that the Lord would have you to do. May the Lord bless us and encourage your hearts. We are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed,